Okay, good afternoon. I'm going to present on some field research that we're conducting in Arizona with a new variable rate irrigation system and looking at the responses of cotton yield, water use efficiency, and fiber quality to variable irrigation rates and timings. So we're talking central Arizona here, where irrigation is required, of course. We usually get rainfall that amounts to about 10% of water use requirement for cotton. So traditionally, growers in the region have used furrow irrigation, which requires heavy tillage, laser leveling of fields, planting cotton on raised beds, and then siphoning water from canals for furrow irrigation. Water delivery to the to central Arizona comes from the Central Arizona Project Canal, which is essentially Colorado River water delivered to the region in central Arizona. So there's growing concern for declining water resources due to drought in the Colorado River Basin and also due to the intense urban growth in Phoenix and Tucson. So to sustain the remaining agriculture in the region, there is a need for improved irrigation techniques. So the objectives of this research have been to assess overhead sprinkler irrigation for cotton produced in central Arizona and also to test the response of cotton to variable irrigation rates and timings. This is a Google map of the Maricopa Stanfield Irrigation District, which is the westernmost irrigation district in central Arizona. You can see the cities of Maricopa and Stanfield to the south. MAC is the Maricopa Agricultural Center. It's the 2,100-acre University of Arizona research facility in the region. You can see the shapes of the fields, and primarily surface irrigation has been the primary method, so fields are set up that way. You see lots of long, rectangular-shaped fields. However, in the recent years, there has been evidence of adoption of overhead irrigation in terms of center pivots and laterals, primarily on the Indian communities that are nearby. To the north of Maricopa is the Gila River Indian community. And in the past 3 or 4 years in this area here to the east of our experiment station, we've seen probably 10 center pivots go up for alfalfa hay production. And also, the Akchin Indian community has land to the south of Maricopa, and they operate 30 or 40 lateral move systems. In 2014, the USDA, located at the Maricopa Ag Center, constructed a lateral move irrigation system on site for research purposes. So it's a lateral move, it's not a pivot. There's six spans plus an overhang. It was designed to take water from an existing ditch-fed, or a ditch-fed, so it takes water from an existing concrete-lined canal. Diesel-powered, this machine irrigates 16 acres, 1,200 feet long. The travel length is about 600 feet. The following year, in 2015, we retrofitted the machine with a full variable rate irrigation system, which includes a control panel. So it's the Lindsay Zomatic Precision VRI system. So there's a control panel here for uploading prescription maps that are developed in your office. You take a thumb drive out and upload a map that the system can interpret for varying the irrigation rate. Along the top of the machine, there are 88 of these control boxes. They're wireless nodes, so it's a wireless communication between the main panel and the each of the node boxes. And each of those boxes controls four drops individually. The machine is positioned in the field via two GPS receivers on each end of the lateral, and that's how it knows where it is in relation to the prescription map that's uploaded to the machine. And control happens via these electronic solenoid valves, which are at the top of each drop. It's a duty cycle principle, so it's a fraction of time opened and closed. Open and closed is what determines the irrigation rate. In 2016, it was our first cotton season with this system. And we set out to just experiment with this particular system by doing a variable irrigation rate and timing study using the VRI. We chose four irrigation rates, which are 60, 80, 100, and 120% of a irrigation schedule that's recommended by a crop growth modeling approach. And there are also two timings in the design, roughly a vegetative period and a reproductive period, first timing from squaring to peak bloom, and the second timing from peak bloom to 90% open bowl. So if you do all the combinations of those four rates over the two timings, it's 16 total treatments, which are replicated four times across the machine. And so you get treatments that are like 80, 100, 60, 60, 100, 120. The first number being the rate that's applied in the first half of the season, and the second number being the rate that's applied in the second half of the season. I'm going to present the results from 2016. Today, we also repeated the experiment in the last year, 2017, and we're going to do it again coming up. We use a weekly irrigation scheduling methodology where essentially Monday and Tuesday are left dry for field entry, for measurements, for any tractor operations that need to happen. On Monday morning, I'll process weather data from Arizona Meteorological Network Station, which is located at the Maricopa Ag Center. I'll download the data from January 1st of the growing season through yesterday, so through the Sunday before the Monday that I'm doing the scheduling. And then from today, the Monday, forward in time through the end of the season, I'll use the average of historic, or I'll use historic weather data to make different simulations to predict future conditions. I run the crop grow cotton model on Monday morning. It's part of the DSAT suite of crop growth models. It's been calibrated to cotton data sets from this field site that were collected in 2014 and 2015. I simulate across the different projected weather records from historic weather years, and I also predict the effect of a range of different irrigation rates to be applied during the current week. So forward in time, then looking at the predicted root zone soil moisture depletion of each of these and seeing how the water stress factors that are calculated by the model are impacted. From there, I can make an irrigation rate decision, which essentially I try to maintain above 45% depletion forward in time and eliminate any water stress that might be calculated by the model. That chosen rate is then irrigated on the field on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the rate that's chosen is assigned to the 100% treatment. All of the other treatments that I mentioned are adjusted based on the spatial variable rate irrigation system. We're collecting a lot of data also on this field. Because in addition to doing the agronomic research, we also have efforts ongoing in high-throughput phenotyping, in use of drones for developing irrigation management technologies and so forth. So the data that's collected from these studies are used for a variety of other purposes other than the agronomy. So we have soil texture at various sites across the field. Soil moisture is measured at each plot location down to 2 meters with neutron probes. We can calculate ET from that. We have a high-throughput phenotyping tractor that is driven across the field on a weekly basis, giving us a variety of sensor readings. Beginning in 2016, we started flying drones over the field, giving us 5-band multispectral images, canopy temperature on a weekly basis. I do a lot of biomass sampling, so pulling cotton plants out of the field and doing plant mapping, so we're counting squares, bowls, abscissions. We're getting dry weights of plant parts and measuring leaf area on an area meter. And all these data are then useful for post hoc evaluation of crop models. And finally, yield data to site-specific harvest effort in each plot. These samples are collected and ginned separately for fiber and seed yield, and fiber sent to Cotton Inc. for fiber quality. So we have a variety of data that are collected from these experiments. Here's just to show off our drone imagery for the field in July 12th of 2016. You can see some of the underwatered treatments as opposed to well-watered treatments there. I'm going to go through a series of plots now, which essentially look like this one, which have the 16 irrigation treatments on the x-axis and then various characteristics on the y. So here would be the total applied irrigation. This is post-plant irrigation applied for each of the 16 treatments, irrigation being varied between about 600 and maybe 1,100 millimeters. ET follows closely the irrigation schedule because we're using a water balance technique to calculate the seasonal evapotranspiration for each treatment. This is cotton fiber yield. For 2016, what you see is essentially the 80-100 and 80-120 kind of maxed out the yield there. And also you see if you drop the water rate down in the latter part of the season to a 60% rate, those come out to be on the lower end of the yield. Crop water use efficiency calculated as the kilograms of fiber per volume of water used by the crop as calculated from our neutron probes. You see very similar to other people's results that as you decrease the amount of water applied, you increase the crop water use efficiency. Likewise, for irrigation water use, this would be the kilograms of fiber per volume of irrigation water applied. Again, the higher numbers toward the lower amounts of irrigation applied. Fiber quality, this is Micronair. Essentially, we're kind of above, we're seeing higher Micronair than the optimum range, which should be around 4 to be optimum, I guess. And we're a little bit above that on some of our treatments. Although some of the ones with very high application of water in the later half of the season are getting that optimum Micronair value. Fiber strength, don't see a huge response there except for this very stressed treatment. Elongation at failure, kind of a penalty there for these deficit treatments, like these 80-60, 80-80, 60-60 treatments. You get a little bump down for that quality metric. Short fiber content, higher value of short fiber in this highly water-stressed treatment, 60-60. So in conclusion, we've shown through this research that we're able to use a commercial variable rate irrigation system for these types of irrigation rate and timing studies. Kind of as expected, you see a yield being maximized when you use full irrigation during the later half of the season, but there may be some room in the early part of the season to use a deficit irrigation strategy in order to increase yield and increase water use efficiency. If you had a deficit in the late season, that severely reduced yield in this case. Early season deficit irrigation maximized the water use efficiency we've seen, but as a trade-off for that, we are seeing a little bit of a hit on fiber quality, particularly Micronair, with this early season deficit. Other quality metrics, though, kind of seemed less affected by irrigation. So opportunities for the future. Essentially, as I mentioned, we have a lot of data from these studies, and we want to use the data that's being collected to fine-tune our irrigation scheduling algorithms to develop ways to integrate sensor data into our irrigation scheduling paradigm and to maybe even adjust the decision criteria that we're basing our irrigation scheduling decision on. So maybe looking at other outputs from crop models or than we are currently using in order to improve irrigation management. So I'll stop there, and thanks for your attention.